Welcome back to Switchcast Season 6. This is episode finale. I don't know what Latin. Anyway, I was trying to do something fancy there. This is the grand finale, final episode of Season 6. It is Season 6, yes. Season 7 will be starting up soon. We'll have some of the same sponsors and a couple new sponsors to welcome. Woo. Last minute call out. If you really, really want a sponsor, you might be able to sneak in. But
and you want to.
Yes, you do, actually. Let's see. Let's start with the warm-up lap here, but only after we tell you what we usually tell you, which is Switchcast is the automotive podcast. It's not just for car people. It's a show where we seek to edify, educate, and entertain in no particular order. If you enjoy this podcast, please help us out with the algorithms. Like, subscribe, share, review, and please also support said sponsors and or sign up for Patreon, which our Patreon topic is exclusive topics that don't get broadcast anywhere else. You get to just kind of sit in with us for a little more low-key discussion. And the topic tonight is, I do know what it is. You know, pauses can be used. It's actually a technique that professional speakers use.
To Are you using it now in the way that a professional speaker would
yes.
use it? Okay.
It's better than ums.
100%. Sometimes I'm on meetings with people and they cannot have empty space and it's just exhausting. Like you don't have to say anything. You can think.
So our topic is, if reliability wasn't a concern, what cars would you own? And this is, in my opinion, one of the funnest topics we've had in a while. Should be a good one. Our technical advisor, Dan Doucette, is going to weigh in. He loves obscure cars and is full of obscure car knowledge, so he'll be throwing some wrenches into the works. We'll need a lot of wrenches for these types of cars.
Yeah,
because they're going to require
good.
Lots of works. Yeah, okay, warm-up lap. Because what we do so we don't crash on our outlap, we take it a little bit easy because we will crash if we try to go straight into a main topic. Also known as check yourself before you wreck yourself. That is a warm-up lap. Get those tires warm. Get the oil warm. And speaking of oil and lubrication for our engines, what is fueling this podcast? Well, fuel is not lubrication, but you know, it's a fluid.
Yeah, for on
if
some
your
cars,
gas is lubricating, then you got problems.
We'll talk about those cars in the Patreon soon.
Okay, what is fueling this podcast? Dan, can you tell us about this?
It is a Michter's Toasted Sour Mash, which it is the most recent release. Not one you see every day or can get every day.
I really wish you didn't tell me what the proof was because I like guessing proofs. I'm no bourbon aficionado, but...
As you sat there and looked at the label.
Yeah. Well, you told me earlier, too. All right. Let's...
Well, as you said, Dan, earlier, it's Doug proof because it's yeah. very low proof.
Yeah, I like my low proofs.
Converse to the actual Doug proof, which is some of the other stuff I have.
Yes, that's right. Doug wants no part of that. You struggling over there? Oh, there. Sorry. I ruined
I was
the cork
waiting
pop.
For a pause. Oh, yes. Glug, glug, glug. All right. We're going to try that, see how it goes right. down.
Hit me.
May go down better than some of our jokes, but whatever. Right.
Well, if the audience like is also enjoying some lubrication, they will find our jokes more funny, I think.
Lubricate responsibly. You definitely don't want to overfill your tank because that could cause PCV issues. Right.
And you don't want to use the wrong weight. You are tuned for a specific type of lubrication. I'm not really
We're
vodka
stretching
lubricated.
Now. Okay. We got to keep warming up. We're on turn one still. All right. NIADA.com. We like to follow up on stuff we've talked about before, even if it proves us wrong. Carvana stock. I'm still holding out to be right about Carvana. Still, just been wrong about their stock. FTC reaches consent agreement with GM on consumer data. So we talked about how GM was selling people's data without them knowing about it or agreeing to it. And according to this article, in its most significant enforcement action against the automotive industry since the start of the Trump administration, the FTC on January 14th finalized a consent agreement with GM and its wholly owned telematics subsidiary, OnStar. So essentially, GM agreed that, yes, we did collect, use, and sold geolocation data and driving behavior data without adequately informing consumers or obtaining their affirmative consent. So the final order imposes a 5-year ban on GM continuing to do this. And there's the entire order is a 20-year duration. And so GM, after the 5-year ban is lifted, has to obtain affirmative express consent from consumers before collecting, using, or sharing connected vehicle data, with some limited exceptions. Consumers the ability to disable the collection of precise geolocation from their data from their vehicles if their vehicle has such technology.
This feels like a step in the right direction. It's probably not enough, but it's at least a step. I get concerned at how much data is being gobbled up by things that I don't really think should need to gobble data. And sometimes the things that should be gobbling data, I get concerned about too, and being used in ways that are not very savory. So,
speaking of data and tech, the glass ceiling has been shattered. So Alex Roy set a semi-autonomous cannonball record, whatever you want to call that, I guess. It's not a speed run. It's how much autonomy you can not use, I guess, how little you can interact with the car from New York to Los Angeles. And he was around like 98%. Jay Roberts did one a couple of years ago in his Prius, maybe last year, and he was 99%. Well, Alex Roy came back with two other autonomy experts, and they completed a Tesla FSD cannonball with zero disengagements from FSD. So it is 100%. The car drove itself from the Red Ball garage to the Portofino. And it drove itself.
What is the time?
It was like 58 hours.
Okay. I think a more appropriate description would be that they set a cannonball time. A record is really a stretch.
Well, it's
even if it is the fastest time,
it's not the
most
time.
Most
it's
autonomous.
Not, it's the most autonomous. That's how we're measuring this.
Fooey.
But of course, it can't be beaten because it's 100%. But it's not about that. It's about proving the technology,
which I think is impressive that this happened. Let's not get anything twisted here. That had to be the most boring thing. You're just sitting there chatting with your like for the 60 hours. Like, at least in a cannonball, you're engaged, you're driving, you're spotting, you're like, you're not spotting, what are you spotting? Whoa, there's a car.
You have Alex Roy, so it's not going to be a boring drive.
That's true. Very entertaining.
God, I'd be so bored. You'd put me asleep.
They spent 10 hours and 11 minutes of the trip waiting for the car to charge. Note that, well, the car didn't charge itself autonomously. They had to get out and plug it in. I'm sure that's easy enough. That's coming.
It's going to be the charging
drive
pads.
Over the charge. Yeah. Yep. Anyway, so there we go.
Just don't stick your hand under there when it's charging.
I've been reading Matthew Crawford's book, Why We Drive, all over again. That's why it's not up on our shelf there. And this makes my soul hurt after reading his book all over again. So
Yeah.
In more news, not self-driving cars, an individual still unidentified drove a 2024 Mercedes-Benz into the Delta Airlines ticketing counter at the Detroit airport a couple weeks ago. Very little has been said about this since then. But it seems obvious from the videos that this was deliberate, because in order to do this, he had to turn 90 degrees. You know, it wasn't like somebody like these old people, they'll accidentally hit the gas instead of the accelerator and drive into Starbucks or whatever. That happens on the regular. Well, this one They said he was going around 40 miles an hour.
Whoa.
And literally would have had to make a 90-degree turn. So this, because he drove straight in, drove over those, like, pylon barrier things and through the glass doors. Like, had to have good aim as well. Seven people sustained minor injuries and the driver was arrested. So thankfully no casualties, no big deal, but it's certainly, certainly concerning. Like what happened and why was like, it's yeah.
And like it's Delta. Delta's usually pretty all right. Like what could they have done? Probably like canceled a flight or something, but goodness.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. The guy's still in custody, but I haven't seen anything about the charges that are being filed, but it's certainly an interesting one to watch.
That's crazy.
Certainly interesting one. Yeah.
He really didn't like those, the kiosks where you go up and you like scan your boarding pass and like check your bag. And he's like, I want to talk to you, human, damn it. And he just like went to the human very directly.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I guess about self-driving cars is they will not do these types of things.
Yeah, that's true.
So I guess that's one argument in their favor. You might have thought it would never happen, but Switchcast is endorsing a transport company. Whether you're moving a rare collectible, a high-end sports car, or your personal luxury vehicle, Shaughnessy Overland Express delivers with precision, privacy, and respect. This isn't just transport, it's white glove care from pickup to delivery. For over 14 years, they've earned the trust of collectors, enthusiasts, dealers, and owners by offering unmatched service and personalized attention. You'll work directly with their experienced in-house team, ensuring a smooth and private experience without middlemen or surprises. Every shipment is protected with up to $3 million in cargo insurance, offering peace of mind for even the most valuable and rare vehicles on the road. In addition to their enclosed fleet, they've also established a trusted auto transport brokerage service, giving you access to a nationwide network of vetted open and enclosed carriers. Whether you need transport on a route they don't currently operate or their carriers are at full capacity when your schedule demands, they'll still get it done without compromising the Shaughnessy standard of excellence. Same professionalism, same personal touch, expanded flexibility. We are proud at Switchcast to endorse Shaughnessy Overland Express as the official transporter of Switchcast. Visit soexinc.com and tell them Switchcast sent you. We have Dan here with us for a special purpose tonight. We always enjoy having him here.
Thank you.
Every now and then we give him the mic.
Yep.
And that is because Dan bought a car. Now, Dan buying a car is not worthy of talking about. Me buying a car is not worthy of talking about just because we have microphones. However, if things happen in said process that go along with our podcast, edify, educate, or entertain in this scenario, I think it's educating in terms of what we can learn about the buying process or what mistakes can we make to not get scammed or hoodwinked or whatever, then it's worth talking about. And what started out as kind of a normal search for an Aston Martin, other
quickly
than
got
nothing,
really stressful,
other than nothing being normal with Dan, got a little bit out of hand. Quick background. This is for the car challenge that we gave to each other. We have 12 friends that are in on this, and we basically said, okay, cars that we've talked about for years or most of our lives about getting, they're our dream cars, and we have the means to get them, and we just haven't. We've made excuses. Well, there's no excuse anymore because we gave each other 3 years to accomplish this dream, achieve this goal, and that 3 years is coming up very quickly. Six of us out of the 12 have purchased our cars, and the other six have less than 3 months to complete that goal.
And probably two of them are going to do it the day before the deadline. So
now, one of Dan's cars was an Aston Martin V8 Vantage, and unlike many other people, This is why he's our technical advisor. He put together a spreadsheet, or maybe already had a spreadsheet, of all the manual V8 Vantages that exist in the US of A, their colors, their specs, whether or not they're one of one. Newsflash, they all are.
There's a shocking amount of one of one Vantages.
I think it's almost more rare to not have a one of one spec Aston Martin because it's British. They're all bespoke.
In lots of colors from other manufacturers, Porsche and Ferrari and Lamborghini.
Many.
Yeah, like what?
So Dan finally found a, what color is burgundy?
Toro red.
Ooh, good color. Toro red.
Was like his top color, right?
It was. Oh. Yeah. He found his dream car with the red inserts in the leather, red stitching. He found this car in Missouri.
Illinois,
close to Missouri, close to Missouri. And it had some miles on it. It was within his budget. It was appropriately priced at $40,000, which we've seen V8 Vantages just creeping up, especially the special colors.
Especially the green ones. Every time Dan would watch the green ones and they'd go for like 45, 50. And it's 60, like, what's happening?
77.
So Dan made the moves to secure it. Went to fly out, PPI, et cetera, doing his normal due diligence, but it quickly turned into, we need to do a crazy level of due diligence in order to make sure nothing nefarious is happening here. Not on the dealer that was handling this, totally legit. We don't want to disparage them, but there was some backstory to this car that I think is something that we can all take away from. So, Dan, at what point did things take a left turn?
It was a Friday and I was on the road for work and I texted the dealer and said, hey, could you send me a photo of the title just to make sure you know that they actually have a title for the car?
Right. Important before you pay a dealer for a vehicle, they have the title.
And background why I said I was on the road that day, because I was heading straight from doing stuff for work on the west side of Cleveland, heading straight to see this car Saturday morning.
Yep.
Which was 8-hour drive. So I was going to be stopping overnight, but like I was like already on my way almost. So I get the photo of the title and I see who it was. And it was a little odd because it's been transferred from a couple dealerships and it hasn't had a private owner in about 2.5 years. It's been in different dealerships' hands.
But none of them perfected the title in their name. They just kept doing reassigning and attaching reassignment sheets. And so real quick sidebar on that, as a dealer in Ohio, we're supposed to perfect the title in our dealer name. So essentially the buck stops with us. And that's actually a really, really good thing, because if there's any outstanding liens or anything funky with the car, somebody didn't assign it right, we can't just pass that on to the new owner. Like, we have to get that rectified and get a fresh, clean, clear title in our name before we sell it on to a new owner. But a lot of other states don't have that requirement. So you end up with getting like 8 sheets of reassignments. And if something's wrong, you have to go back to the person who has the title in their name. Like, if that stuff gets lost or whatever, that might be 8 dealers back and they might not be in business anymore. Continue, Dan.
But that's one thing, you know, I've complained a lot about the way Ohio does certain things in terms of not necessarily being for the used car purchaser or whatever. But I think that law is really beneficial because it means you can buy a car with confidence
from an Ohio dealer,
and 2.5 years, like, you're running the risk of a dealer not being in business or somebody not being, documents being lost,
I've dealt with it multiple times, and we always got it sorted out, but it is a pain in the rear.
Yeah. So there were sort of two kind of red flags. One sort of just me just not knowing how this process goes, and the second was an actual red flag. So he sent me this photo of the title, and it was a Florida title because that's where the last actual physical person who owned it lived. It had been reassigned to a dealership who I Googled the name and immediately flags went off. I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting.
And what was that dealer name?
Well, it was, I think,
Karma of Albany. And I didn't catch it at first, but we covered that dealer on our podcast last year.
Yeah,
we did. But it was Buell Auto Sales, B-U-L. Yep. Okay. And they had a location in Jacksonville and a location in Albany. And they had a Karma franchise as well, which I think some dealers do just so they can get like different types of floor plan financing, because there's banks that won't touch an independent dealer. So that's like kind of a little red flag about some of these dealers. Just FYI, if they have some real obscure franchise and nothing else. But anyway, so we did a podcast about how they were they got charged, sued, the whole deal. Same scam as they always do. They're not paying consigners. They're selling cars, not delivering titles. Basically, the money disappears and people are left without titles, or they sold them their car and didn't get paid. So Dan has a reassignment through this dealer from a couple years ago.
So the title photo he sent me has the previous person owner reassigned to this shady dealer. And like, that's all it had.
And so, then reassigned to the dealer.
But that was originally all I got was that. Then I'm like, wait, it's a shady dealer and like, there's nothing else. So I did text them back. I called the dealership who I bought the car from, and he tried to walk me through, okay, no, we have a reassignment form. And he did send me a photo of that, which is from New York. So that's was reassigned from the shady dealer to this current dealer on a New York one. And then now it would be, they have a reassignment. It's reassigned the Florida title back to them and now to me. So it's, as you, Doug, had told me, it's just sort of make sure that all the steps make sense. It's logical. And from my take is they do now. And even the dealer told me, they said, if there are any issues, let us know. We'll get an Illinois title for it if needed.
So that in Ohio, we would have already had a title. Yeah. But once I saw that, I go, Dan, you need to actually go and make sure there's no open liens against this car, or like in some scenarios I've seen where certain VINs are listed in court documents against legal proceedings, make sure there's no judgments. So I'm like, you gotta physically call Florida, New York, you know, search the VIN and see if there's any liens, because they couldn't file it against the title because it's been reassigned. You ended up tracking down the owner.
And I guess thankfully this car has not had many owners. So I'm technically only the third owner of this car, and the first two were in Florida. And the only other state this car has like been to was New York briefly. And the dealership I got the car from verified it actually came from New York. So they did ship it from Florida. The shady dealer shipped it from Florida.
But my concern was this part of the scheme? And the guy in Florida is still looking for his car and, is trying to get a lien against it, or has a lien against it. And poor Dan buys this car and all of a sudden finds himself embroiled in one of these issues that we've seen so many times on the internet. So you track down the previous owner. Dan is a super sleuth.
So the first thing I did while I was pulled off over in parking lots, trying to do this on my phone because I was kind of on the way there. I got online and searched what I could for Florida and New York to see if there were any active liens on the car. Came back no from what I could find. And the New York one, it never really even got a New York title, but I plugged it in, nothing. Couldn't get a hold of them by phone.
You can't get a hold of New York.
But the Florida came
impossible.
Came back clear. But I guess in a weird way, thankfully, I actually had an old title because it had who the previous owner was in Florida, and it was a business name. So I was like, okay, I need to try and get a hold of this guy and see what's up, if he's angry or not about this car. So I Googled this business name, and it very quickly came back to, oh, this guy's the owner. Like, and even the business name was kind of interesting. I won't say it, but it jives with the car. So I found a phone number for this business, and I figure, oh, I'll call it, because he owns a business, obviously. I'll call it and, talk to his secretary or employee there and say, I need to talk to so-and-so about this car. Let me know. So I call
him. I'm stuck on his business name, like trying to come up with what it might be. Is it like Mask of Toro?
No, it's even better. I don't want
Big Aston Martin.
I don't want to say it to dox him on here, but I'll tell you afterwards. But so I call this number while I'm driving. I immediately get a voicemail, which was actually a really hilarious voicemail, because he just goes on this humorous rant about, I don't want car warranties and that yada yada. If you made it far this through far, you're probably legit. I'll call you back. So I was like, oh, okay, this is actually the guy. This isn't his business. This is his cell number. And I get a text just a couple minutes later, and he says, driving, I'll call you in just a bit. And like an hour later, he texts me again, just text. Like, he didn't even ask, do I accept text? Or he just texted me, and he's like, stop to get dinner at my hotel. I'll give you a call. And sure enough, he called me like 15 minutes later, and we talked about the car for about a half hour. And really, really cool guy. And he had no issues selling the car. He got his money and did not know of the issues at the dealership until afterwards. He started Googling and texted me the next day. And he's like, oh, wow, I was lucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So it made it through unscathed.
Yep.
And
yeah, he ended up upgrading. He traded this Aston Martin in for a newer Aston Martin. And he said there were no issues at all with that deal.
And then you found the original owner too, because like his name was on the sill plates, right?
Yep.
And so then you found his address and his house and had found like Google Street View showing the car in his driveway.
Yeah, you can see it from the above.
It's
you can
crazy. See the Aston Martin. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool to talk to that second owner. He only owned the car briefly for like about a year. Meaning, yes, the first owner owned the car from late 06 to 2023.
That's crazy.
But he had told me about that owner and everything about all the maintenance and everything. And a lot of the maintenance that the dealer that I bought the car from did not know about. So that was a big benefit
too.
That's
always a bonus. Now, yeah. I have to ask, got to put in our plug here. Yep. Was our affiliate EpicVin any help in your search? 100%. Or gaining, what did you get from
it,
that?
It verified some of the... It verified what the second owner told me about what the first owner had done maintenance wise based on,
because it had his listing
and what he wrote out, and that jived exactly with what the second owner had told me.
And that was some of the stuff that the selling dealer, when you found it, didn't know about that car.
They still don't
right.
Know.
So you found some like bonus information, like yep. It had an upgraded clutch, I think.
Yep, it has and a couple AMR other things. Performance clutch kit.
Yes. So Dan found a one of one spec. Are you okay? Are you going to pay the $180 to Aston Martin Heritage Trust to get a certificate?
I don't know. It takes months to get.
But you're going to have this car. Own.
Yeah, I have. I know it's a one of one.
Ooh, I hear. I think. Or no, actually, would Switch Cars do it with their? Or is that just for GT3s?
We just do it for GT3s, and that's GT Vault. Yeah. All right. Well, congrats, Dan. So you got Toro Red with a unique interior, red yep. stitching. Redone Alcantara dash, upgraded clutch, and the all-important Aston Martin mod, the center nav screen delete, because it rattles, it's crappy, it doesn't work, and you have that stupid hole cut in your nice waterfall trim panel. So they had a new trim panel without the hole. Dan's got an Aston Martin. He's in for the challenge, and it's up to the six of us remaining to find a car.
And what I really appreciate is it felt like Dan and I had pretty similar journeys, because we both, there was like potential options. There's a river of V8 Vantages compared to 996 GT3s in terms of options on the market. But there was a lot of stuff that could have made sense that you passed on that ended up being too expensive. But patience, I think, paid off.
Perfect spec.
For both of us. Yeah. In that we ended up with such awesome cars that are really perfect for us in, you know, our own ways. So Doug, I hope that happens for you and you end up with something that's just makes the patience worth it.
I'm getting a little desperate. But anyway, on to the Corvette curmudgeon, and well, gee, look at that. It's Aston Martin related. Who knew? I didn't plan this. I did a video about an Aston Martin DB9. They're 6 liters. The early 6 liters had oil starvation issues. And it was literally because the dipstick was too long. So people would underfill the engine with oil. And the fix was to put a shorter dipstick in. One of the comments from probably a guy who had a Corvette. And so, of course, I'm going to do the Corvette voice.
Oh, the hat.
No, the engine has an oil starvation problem because the Brits cannot design a good, reliable engine. They never made a good, reliable engine. Even in World War II, all their engines were pure rubbish. Plus, the advanced turbo supercharger design Britain used had flat impeller blades. It was all caps, so I had to. Which is extremely inefficient. He may be right about a lot of those things, but the hilarious, it was such an easy response because he said the engine has an oil starvation problem because the Brits can't design a good, reliable engine. So I just responded. I said, well, the DB9 is basically two Ford engines re-engineered by Cosworth. Oops. So you're wrong. Of course, if he's a Corvette curmudgeon, he'd be like, well, it's because Ford can't design good engines. All their crap blows up. Should have put an LS in it. Soul and Spine wants everyone to have a higher quality of life. They specialize in non-surgical options for those who have been told that they need injections or surgery. They offer state-of-the-art techniques that help over 90% of patients become pain-free in just weeks. Starting with thorough medical history and comprehensive examination, you'll work one-on-one with Dr. Hoover to meet all your treatment goals. Their mission is to unleash your body's own healing potential to avoid drugs and surgery. Visit soulandspine.com to learn more, located in Solon, Ohio. Florida ain't quite as free as they purport themselves to be. I'm rapping out of the gate here. They're coming for cannonballers.
It's Doug and Doug, Tyler, and Ethan makes three. I don't know.
They're coming for thee.
Ooh, okay, all right. Barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. All right. We're going to have to start charging people a fee. If you listen to Patreon there, it costs you. Anyway, okay. There's a new law in effect in Florida. Now, we've all heard of their super speeders law, which they put into effect, which they can arrest you and impound your car if you're going over 100 miles an hour, which is pretty much like every Nissan Altima on I-75 or I-95 South. That is like normal traffic there. But boy, are they proud of that law. But there's another law, and this is interesting because as a cannonballer, I had a patch on my cannonball jacket, and I took it with me on our first run in 2019, and it says, do it today, tomorrow it may be illegal. Which, of course, there's some irony in cannonballing with that patch. However, what I was talking about is at some point we will become enough of a dystopian, you know, Big Brother type state, similar to what the UK is now for speeders, that it won't be possible to do a cannonball without being arrested, you know, a third of the way across the country, because they know we're doing it already. They know what we're doing, or they come for us way later because there's no statute of limitations, whatever. They can, you know, just a Big Brother surveillance state. Enter street takeovers. It's a reasonably new phenomenon. All of car loving people agree that that is not car culture at all. If it is even remotely connected to car culture, it is a scourge on car culture, and it shouldn't be connected with it. And we want them prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Well, politicians are not one to waste a good crisis, and they are taking advantage of the crisis of the street takeovers. And although most states have enough laws to prosecute them already, not the least of which is Grand Theft Auto, because a lot of these cars are stolen vehicles, they're instituting new laws. And these laws often are written quite broadly such that nearly anybody could be prosecuted under these laws. So we're going to read Florida's new law aimed at taking down street takeover people. But boy, when you hear it, it could be just about anyone.
See, Doug, I was going to try to come into this with a street takeover is a broad term that somebody could potentially argue in court that a person was not participating in such a thing. But then I read through these again, and it's just like, this is so intensely generic that if you do anything fast in a car, you could get got.
Yeah. All right. So any person who violates this, blah, 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 reading directly from the law, shall pay a fine of not less than $2,500 and not more than $4,000 pursuant to the Florida Contraband Forfeiture Act. Sounds like civil assets, civil asset forfeiture. Yep. The arresting law enforcement agency may move to seize any vehicle used in the violation of paragraph D. The department shall also revoke the driver license of that person for 2 years. Person may not drive any motor vehicle in any street takeover, stunt driving, race, speed competition or contest, drag race or acceleration contest, test of physical endurance, that could be at the speed limit, or exhibition of speed or acceleration, or for the purpose of making a speed record, cannonball, on any highway, roadway, or parking lot.
See, okay.
Private property.
What about, aren't all autocrosses in parking lots? What about snow? So here's the thing. What about snowy parking lot? Well, they don't get snow in Florida. Never mind.
Well, they did last week.
Yeah. Suck it, Florida.
But okay, keep going on that thought, please.
But,
please.
So it is fun, I will not deny, to slide around in a very snowy, unplowed parking lot.
And it is healthy. That teaches people how to drive.
Exactly.
That should be encouraged.
What we seem to have forgotten, and no, you don't need to street race like you're in the Fast and the Furious, but doing something as innocent as by yourself or distant from others, sliding around in a parking lot when it's very snowy teaches you how your car responds and feels in a potentially dangerous scenario where you could be around other people. So yes, it's fun, but it also teaches you how you can potentially avoid hurting yourself or someone else on the roadways if they are that bad. So we're just blanket saying that, like, this is an awful thing, don't do it, potentially. And where we should actually be able to, like, kind of flirt with the limits of our vehicle in a safe manner so we know how to handle scenarios other than just cruising down the road at 25 miles an hour.
All right. B, in any manner participate in, coordinate through social media or otherwise, cannonball planning, facilitate or collect monies at any location for any such race, drag race, street takeover, stunt driving, competition, contest, test, or exhibition.
Could this
test
also-
or exhibition knowingly ride as a passenger in any such race, drag race, street takeover, stunt driving, competition, contest, test or exhibition? If you're riding as a passenger, you can lose your license for 2 years. Riding as a passenger, purposefully cause the movement of traffic, including pedestrian traffic, to slow, stop, or impeded in any way for such race, drag race, street takeover, stunt driving, competition, contest, test, or exhibition. Car show, anyone?
Yeah.
Line up to get into the car show that causes the movement of traffic to slow, stop, or be impeded in any way?
What about the line to get into Chick-fil-A, Doug?
I did not see that coming.
I have seen some intense disruption of traffic to get me a crispy chicken sandwich. Illegal in Florida. No more.
Okay, but is that a competition, a contest, a test, or an exhibition?
I think that's a test of my patience.
Chicken sandwich fall under.
Oh, man.
E, operate a motor vehicle for the purpose of filming or recording the activities of participants in any such race, drag race, street takeover, stunt driving, competition, contest, test, or exhibition. This paragraph does not apply to bona fide members of the news media, so no TikTok influencers.
Can you imagine getting a press pass to a takeover?
I don't even know what bona fide members of the news media even is anymore. Don Lemon, is that our standard?
Yeah, like...
Operate a motor vehicle carrying any amount of fuel for the purposes of fueling a motor vehicle involved in any such race, drag race, street takeover, stunt driving, competition, contest, test, or exhibition. You want to talk about
Are they doing broad, like in drift fueling?
Any like, amount of fuel, carrying any amount of fuel.
For the purposes of fueling a motor vehicle. So like, wait, does that mean, does that mean that you have a like a can in your trunk that you could like fill up your lawnmower with and you just decide to whip it around in an intersection? Or is this like you're trying to fuel mid takeover to keep the drift going?
Well, that would certainly apply to fuel cells in a cannonball car.
Gosh. Why is this so broad?
Because they can. What do you think the friggin' Patriot Act was?
Ugh.
Broad.
Florida is only free if you do the things they want you to do.
I'm sorry, car people. Mm. I want street takeovers to end as much as you do, but this law is very, very dangerous to your freedoms.
I want to feel that this comes from a good place. But I feel like there are so many other things that could be done. Maybe I don't know. Just why do we have to do this blanket, potentially dangerous law under the guise of, oh, it's for street takeovers? Ugh, God, this is going to be what kills car culture for good. It won't die.
Okay. You said, I want to feel like this comes from a good place, and it might, but that is a problem. I'm going to read you a C.S. Lewis quote.
Ooh.
Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep, his cupidity may at some point be satiated, but those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience.
I don't have anything to follow up that.
That brings us to the props and flops brought to you by Switch Cars.
And Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy and sell cars that we like ourselves. Check out our handpicked inventory at switchcars.com and mention SwitchCast for special pricing when available. You can find more information online at switchcars.com or come visit our showroom in icy Twinsburg, Ohio.
It's melting today.
Thank God. It's a beautiful sound.
It got above 30 degrees for the first time in a month.
Big depression happening in Ohio in January and February, let me tell you.
Yep. Our pick of the week is a Mitsubishi 3000 GT VR4 1999. Ooh. Last year, 6-speed manual, some cool performance mods, 500 plus horsepower, just 37,000 miles. It still looks like new inside, and it absolutely smells like 90s Japanese cars.
Oh, heck yeah. What color is it?
I love that smell. Red.
Nice. It's a good color.
Red over gray.
Ooh.
Our flop of the week. BMW is going to EV for their M lineup.
MEV. Have they just looked at all of the wrong public case studies or like what are the, I'm losing words.
Well, they're completely ignoring the fact that it has not worked for Porsche or Jaguar, or Ford, or Rivian, or really anybody except Tesla. Any performance car company who's gone EV, it's completely backfired. So, but just when you thought that the M5 wagon was a porker at over 5,500 pounds, we're looking at 3-plus ton, quote-unquote, performance cars. The ultimate diving machine will be more like it if we're talking about their depreciation.
Ooh, okay. It'd be like a reverse hockey stick. Just
yeah. Yeah. Prop of the week. Ferrari, this is old news, but just like automotive transporters, we'd rather be good than fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Ferrari has filed a patent. This is from Top Gear. Ferrari has filed a patent for a new V12 engine with oval-shaped pistons.
So what does this mean?
What does it mean? It's all about efficiency. So Honda did do a four-stroke motorbike engine back in 79 with a oval-shaped piston. But previously, they've all been round, essentially because of fabrication limitations.
Okay.
Now that we have much more advanced manufacturing capabilities, even 3D printing, you can make an oval-shaped piston and essentially use all that block space that was previously unused, and they are far more efficient. So it's possible that we could see massive, massive gains in internal combustion efficiency if this becomes a thing. We don't know that Ferrari is actually going to do anything with it, but the patent has been filed.
What I like about this, other than the fact that somebody is trying, there are certain things Porsche has done with e-fuels that I think are trying to help prepare us for the future. This is something else that a tentpole manufacturer is doing. It also calls out that we've done this before and we weren't successful as a society for various reasons. But I find that we always come back, Doug, to the fact that things were very efficient before for a lot of reasons, and we've kind of gotten away from that. This isn't entirely analogous because it didn't really work, but you know, cars were really efficient before, and we got away from that. So I think we can get back.
The biggest thing about this engine is they can make it much smaller. So as we're talking about 6,000-pound BMW M cars, we can actually make cars smaller and lighter. Which is,
oh God, brilliant. It'd be so good.
It would be great.
What do you see in every like 90s and 2000s sports car or supercar auction? Oh, this just, it's so much smaller. It fits around you. It's like perfect size, not too big. Like, we got to get back to that. We can do it.
Oh, see, every 90s, 2000 supercar auction, I just see numbers that I can't afford. But
I'm trying to,
I see where you're
ignore
going
the sadness.
And cars that are just beautiful. So I'm happy, and I feel like if more attention was paid, or I guess less subsidies to the EV market, less this is the way of the future and there's no other options, then this type of technological advance would happen across, you know, multiple different disciplines and multiple different types of power, and the best engineering would win. But unfortunately, we're putting everything on black. Everything on black. And black is EVs. But I don't think that'll pay off. Anyway, happy for Ferrari. That is just another win in their otherwise very stout business model that they are just killing all of their competition. So
what I want is I want a 911 with flat pistons in its flat six. This is...
not a Hemi?
What?
There's some debate about whether the Hemi is the top of the piston or the shape of the cylinder. I know that, but there's debate. Dan, our technical advisor, says it's the shape of the cylinder. That is correct. It's a combustion chamber, but people have debated with me about that and tried to say, you idiot, it's the top, it's the dome of the piston. I'm like, no, it's not. Dan says they also say that about flat earth. Well, nice. They could probably say that about their flat dome too. They got nothing up here. And that's how we end it. A burn.
The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jake Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield all-sport diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one, on July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All-Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield well of clever and unique design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield watches, value on merit, not just price. I love mine, so get yours at sheffieldwatches.com and be sure to mention you found them on Switchcast.
Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.